Are you ready to have kingdom impact? Get ready to walk in a new level of authority at the 2018 Direction for Life Conference at Right Direction Church International. Join host Bishop Herbert Bailey.
You got to get it settled that God loves me too much to let me go out like this, to let me go down like this. God will reverse the situation. I don't know what, I don't know how, I don't know when, but God will do something.
Dr. Marsha Bailey.
God says, hear me now. He said, I don't need all year to do this. We understand this regarding the rapture in a minute, in a twinkling of an eye. That's what God says. In a minute, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to change your status of life.
And guest speakers, Dr. Bill Winston.
And I'm telling you, you have come here to be equipped. That God's giving you spiritual knowledge. That you'll be able to fulfill whatever area you're working in the marketplace.
And guest speaker, Pastor Mark Baker.
God wants you and I blessed. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, God want me blessed. God don't get no glory out of me barely making it. I wish I had a witness up here. He gets no glory out of me barely making it. Everything you put your hand to, God gonna make it happen for you.
And Pastor Michael Todd.
Some of y'all have had the wrong perspective. You thought that what was happening was to take you out. And God says, what's happening is I'm making you right now. And I can't allow everybody to see it. Because if they saw it, they'd try to pull you up and put you in a pot. But God said, what I'm building in you, it's going to be something that goes deep. And that when it is time, it's going to go high.
Teens will have a special session on Wednesday night at the Direction for Life Youth Experience with guest speaker, Pastor David Winston. Musical guests include Shanna Wilson-Williams, Todd Galbraith, and Sean Bigby. It's all about Kingdom Impact, November 7th through 9th, 12 noon and 7 p.m. at Right Direction Church International. For more info or to register, visit directionforlife.info or call 877-798-5433.
You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marsha Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Strategy for Warfare.
Psalms 144 and 1. Psalms 144 and 1. This is part two of a series that I started last week. Psalms 144 and 1. It says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. God teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. And then that same verse from the New Living Translation says, praise the Lord, who is my rock, who trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. Trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. And from that verse in King James and New Living Translation about teaching you to war, teach your fingers to fight, giving you skill for battle, we are teaching from this series, Strategy for Warfare. Everybody say strategy for warfare. How many of us believe it's the will of God for us to win every battle? Amen. It is the will of God. God doesn't allow you to be in the battle to be defeated. Amen. God wants you to win every battle, but he will give you strategy for the battle. And this is so important to understand. It's so important to understand this because if you don't understand this, you think that what you did in the last battle will automatically work in this battle. And that's not always the case. There's different battles that you need different warfare in. Or there's different warfare that you need different strategies in. So if, you know, there's no sense of trying to find fight an air war at sea. Amen. You know, they used to say you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Amen. So there's strategy for warfare. And what's so important to this, again, I was talking to this pastor today, and he was talking about being smart. And I said, I don't boast that I'm smart. I don't think I'm dumb. But I said, I don't boast that I'm smart. I said, but what I boast in is that I have the wisdom of God. I said, I don't need to be smart, but I need to have the wisdom of God. See, with being smart, you go to school to be smart. Okay? To have the wisdom of God, you need to have an ear to the mouth of God. And even if you ain't too smart, you can get wisdom and folks won't even know. And that's what I told him. I said, if you walk in the wisdom of God, you'll look smart. Glory to God. I have been successful in things and it shocked myself it worked. But I knew it was what God told me to do. You know, and it makes you look smart. It makes you look like you got a degree in that. No, you are just listening to God. You will win if you go to God for your strategies. And so in every warfare, expect God to give you a strategy for that warfare. So we looked at Ephesians 6, of course, 6 and 12, that says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. So we are in a battle. You are either in a battle, just got out of a battle, or you're on your way to a battle. If you're having a little break right now, it's just to get strategy for the next battle. Amen. Because the devil is relentless. And you got to have relentless faith. Amen. You can't afford. I used to hear people say this. And I had to correct somebody. They always say, every day when you get up, put on the whole armor of God. Every day when you get up, get dressed with the armor. And I said, where the Bible says you're supposed to take it off? You better learn. You better sleep in your. Come on now. You better learn to sleep in that armor. Get attacked at night. Amen. And so you need to keep on the whole armor of God. Some of us, you know, sometimes people can, when I used to be sick with my stomach years ago, and it's also, I could have a perfect day and everything would be fine. And I would lay down at night and my stomach would start burning and rumbling. I would have all kinds, and and sometimes I look forward to the day because I was attacked in my body at night. So you don't take your garment off and the whole armor of God off at night. Are y'all hearing me? And so the devil is relentless. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, spiritual wickedness, and high places, rulers, darkness of this world. So our fight is in the heavenly sphere. Okay, and we're reminded of this because in the book of Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel wanted an answer from God, and it took 21 days. That's where sometimes many people they talk about going on a 21-day fast. It took 21 days, and on the 21st day or the 22nd, or right after the 21st day, the angel appears to him, and the angel comes to Daniel. He says, from the time that I set it thy heart to understand, from the time that you started praying and asking God, he said, I've been on my way. I've been on the way. Watch it. From the time you prayed, the Lord released me. From the time you prayed, the angel was on the way. From the time you prayed, help was on the way. He said, but the prince of Persia withstood me. The prince of Persia there is not talking about a physical king. The prince of Persia there is talking about spiritual wickedness and principality, spiritual wickedness in high places. When you study that, it's talking about a demonic force that was exercising authority over that region. And so the angel was not fighting against a physical prince. He was fighting against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And then the Bible says, which was so encouraging to me. And he said, but God sent the war angel to help me. He sent Michael to help me. Know why that blesses me? Because this is one man praying. One man praying. And all this warfare over one man's prayer. That means you are that important to God. And you are that much of a threat to the devil. One man's prayer. But not only that. One man's prayer that the devil tried to stop him from getting his answer. But not only that. One man's prayer that God sent reinforcements in to help him. Glory to God. That's how important you are to God. God will send angels and reinforcement of angels to help you win. Somebody say, I'm that important to God. I'm that important to God. See, all this stuff. Now watch this. Suppose Daniel said this stuff like, I just feel like my prayer hit the ceiling. Okay, what he felt like didn't matter. There was warfare going on in the heavenlies for him. I just feel like my prayers not being heard. No, there was demonic activity going on and angelic activity going on. There was warfare going on in the heavenlies. While you were praying, while you were staying in faith, glory to God, while by you staying in faith, you were reinforcing your angel to come on that I'm still in my position of faith. Jesus says this, he says in Luke 18, he says men ought always to pray and not faint. But then he goes on, he talks about the woman who was persistent in a prayer and the unjust judge who didn't regard God, who had no fear of God, no regard for man. He said, but he finally granted her request. And then Jesus asked a question. He said, nevertheless, the Son of Man asked, will there be faith in the earth when he comes? Will you still be in your position of faith? Or will you have given up because it looked like it was taking too long? We have to stay in our position of faith. There's warfare going on to bring you your stuff. Man, that's good right there. Stay in faith. There's a warfare going on to give you your answer, to bring you your victory. Amen. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20. So in 2 Chronicles 20, we read about Jehoshaphat. Okay, many people know about the story of Jehoshaphat. But a couple things I want to point out here. It says there were at least three. It was at least three nations, and historically, when you look at it, they didn't even like each other, but they disliked Judah and the children of Israel more than they disliked each other. Okay, so their enemies got together against Judah. And then, so 2 Chronicles 20:1, it says, came to pass that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonite. So it doesn't even specify who the third nation was, but we know at least three nations came together against Jehoshaphat. Okay? Three nations came together against Jehoshaphat. He looked like in the natural, he is outnumbered. And then verse 2 says, and there came some that told Jehoshaphat, said, listen, there's coming a great multitude of army that coming against you beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And verse 3 says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Now, when the Bible says he feared here, this is not talking about a holy reverential fear. This doesn't mean like, oh, God, you are so awesome. No, this fear is the S-C-A-R-E-D fear. This is scared fear. Scared. When it says, it said he feared, so what did he do? He said he feared, so he set himself to seek the Lord. He didn't give in to his fear. He responded in faith to his fear. I'm scared, so I got to run into God. There's a psalm that says, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So you can give in to your fear, or you can take your fear to the Lord. And so he says, he set himself to seek the Lord, and he called a fast. And verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. God, we have these three armies coming against us. It says, even out of the cities of Judah, they came to do what? To seek the Lord. They came to seek the Lord. What were they seeking God for? They were seeking God for strategy. In the natural, it doesn't look like we can win. In the natural, we are outnumbered. In the natural, this is over. But God, you never allow us to be in a battle that you don't want us to win. So now, God, I just need you to show me what to do. Now, most of us have been in church in a while. We know the story. God told him, you know, to go down and to send forth the praises. My point is, he gave him strategy. Say that. Say, God will give me strategy every time I'm in warfare. All right. And so a couple things. All that was reviewed from last week. So now we're moving on. So a couple things I want to point out. Number one, bad news is going to come. Somebody said, that's a negative confession. I didn't come to church. The gospel is the good news. Now, how you going to get up and tell us bad news going to come? As Bishop Bailey would say, just keep on living. Okay? A company's going to shut down. Somebody might get a bad doctor's report. A child may go to jail. You might be laid off. You get a foreclosure notice. Y'all following me here? Bad news. Negative things happen in the earth. Amen. And sometimes it has nothing to do with the fact that you didn't tithe. For all you trying to judge, they must not be tithing. Because God said he rebuked and devoured. Lord, sure like they being devoured. They must not be tithing. That works until we get to Job. Okay? And some, you know, remember what Jesus said? They said, Jesus, the man was born blind. Lord, who sinned? Was it him or was his parents? Jesus said, neither, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Sometimes the only reason why you're in a situation is because God wants to show himself strong. It's not that you did anything or didn't do anything. This is just an opportunity for God to show himself strong on your behalf. I told y'all, some of y'all knew here, but y'all know I grew up, I said like Batman. Okay, we used to rush home. Run home to see Batman. Okay, now Batman, it was one day the show gonna be good, next show the day gonna be bad. One day the show gonna be good, next day the show gonna be bad. Because the day that it was good is when he getting out of his trouble. The day is bad, the Penguin got him. Okay, the Joker got him. Catwoman got him. Mr. Freeze got him or something, and he would be laying there, and then all of a sudden the razor, he's on a conveyor going towards the razor. Zzz. Will Batman be cut in half? Will Boy Wonder become Boy Blunder? Okay, stay tuned for the next one. Same bad time, same. Okay, and so we rush home to watch it. We never called. Oh Jesus, we never doubted Batman was going to get out. It was never a question to me that he going to be cut in half. It was never a question to me that he going to be frozen by Mr. Freeze. It was never a question to me that Catwoman's cats was going to scratch them all up. Whatever case, it wasn't a question that the Penguin was. It was that the Penguin was going to succeed. No, he going to get out. It wasn't a question he going to get out. Whether he going to get out, the question was how he going to get out. Okay, and we knew some kind of way there was something in his call, in his utility belt. When you look to him, I say, I got something in my utility belt. He had everything in that utility belt. Some kind of way there was always something in that utility belt that gonna help him get out of this dilemma, out of this problem. You gotta know I got something in my utility belt. Every time you come into church, you getting some more stuff in your utility belt. Ladies, at the awakening, you gonna get more weapons in your utility belt. So it's not a matter if we gonna get out, it's which scripture I'm gonna use. Which tool am I going to use? The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. Which weapon is going to get me out? I know I'm going to get out. And so I go to God for strategy because he lets me know what weapon to use. Sometimes God says, just praise your way out. Sometimes God may tell you to fast. Sometimes he'll tell you to go talk to somebody. Sometimes he'll tell you to sow a seed. Sometimes he'll tell you to sing. Sometimes he'll tell you to dance. Sometimes he'll tell you just show up to the meeting. I don't know what the strategy is, but there's always a strategy to give you your victory in the warfare. Come on, give God a praise if you believe that. So you have to expect that in the natural, long as you're in this natural world, bad news may come. Now go to Psalms 112. Psalms 112, verse 7 and 8. Read it first from the traditional King James. Psalms 112, I often say read Psalms 112 because it's the all the characteristics of a blessed person. What it really means to walk in the blessings of God is outlined there in Psalms 112. And then we come down to verse 7, it says, this blessed person, this blessed man, this blessed woman shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Evil tidings means what? Bad news. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in God. Okay? I've already predetermined how I'm going to respond to bad news. I already have predetermined I'm going to keep trusting God through everything. And then verse 8 says, put a verse, he says, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. That sounds like victory to me. I know God is going to defeat every devil and he's going to defeat my enemy. That those verses from New Living Translation says, they do not fear bad news. Say that. Say, I will not fear bad news. Whether that's a bad doctor's report or a bad company report, you know, some of you don't know the whole stock market system, okay, is based upon fear and faith. Now, people don't say that, but the whole system of the stock market is based upon fear and faith. Okay, if people believe this company is going to do well and is going to continue to prosper, they buy the stock. If they get in fear that this company is going to go down, the stock is not going to be good, then they sell stock. Okay? And so generally what I do, I listen for the bad news. And then because I'm a person of faith, when everybody else get out, I get in. Because when they go low, I go high. Glory to God. And so it's all a matter of how you respond to the bad news. So they get a report that says, oh, the profit, the second quarter profits for McDonald's was down. And so people say, oh man, McDonald's going out of business. And then they start trading off McDonald's stock. So McDonald's stock may have been 30, but everybody trades off that day, now drops down to 25. Are you following me? It's all based upon fear and faith. How you respond to bad news is based upon whether you're in fear or you're in faith. Bad news is going to come. So New Living Translation said, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Say that. Say, I trust God to take care of me. See, bad news comes, but you got to trust God to take care of you. Okay? In the natural, you could get a bad doctor report. I still trust God to take care of me. The company said, we're going to shut down this department. We're going to shut down this division. And y'all, that's if they're nice. If they're nice, they tell you that. Okay? Because a lot of them, they ain't nice because these jobs ain't loyal. Okay? Some of them tell you today. There have been some that say, oh, today, today this department is shut down. So if they're nice, see, now come on. You ought to praise God if they were nice enough to give you a month's notice. I just put my faith in gear. God got 30 days to show himself strong on my behalf. Amen. As a matter of fact, it comes to you can, see, if you really have the right attitude about that, you see, I'm going to get laid off. Praise God. You know, I didn't like this job anyway. This is a blessing, glory to God. Now I'm going to now have some time now to really see God and get the God kind of job. And get the money I want. So now I'm just going to be in faith. I'm going to get this unemployment for a minute here. And I'm just going to rest. And I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to hear God. I'm going to put my faith in gear. And I'm going to put my faith in motion. And I'm going to get the right kind of job with the right kind of money. See, it's all a matter of perspective. I'm telling you, that's how you got to respond when you're in faith. And so a lot of times, y'all, we think we're in faith. We're not in faith. You don't know. Oh, this is so good. How you respond to bad news is an indicator whether you're a person of faith or not. Nothing's even happened yet. How you respond even to the news. And I'm jumping ahead of myself. So you got to stay in faith. How you respond to bad news will determine how things turn out and how quickly you get out. Let me say that again. How you respond to bad news will determine how things turn out and how quickly you get out. Look at John 16:13. In John 16:13, Jesus says this. He says, these things have I spoken. That's my word. I've spoken to you that in me ye might have peace. But look at this. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace. Now look at this. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Did y'all see a distinction here? In me, you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. I don't care what trouble you come from, you go through, or that you hear, you got to recognize I'm in Christ. My life is hid with God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, all things become new. Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So when bad news comes, you got to say, oh man, I'm in Christ. That means I have a shelter. Glory to God. That means I have a shield around me. That means I have a divine force field around me. Bad news. Okay. That's why Psalm 91 says 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh thee. You can't touch this. Okay. It won't come nigh me because I, long as I'm staying in faith and I recognize he said in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but in me, put it back up. John 16:33. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. What's tribulation? Trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus said, even when you hear the trouble and see the trouble, be of good cheer.
In every war, there has to be strategy in order to defeat an opponent. Every battle that you face will require that you have a plan to win. Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages you to not become discouraged, but to use your God-given strategy for whatever warfare you face. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Strategy for Warfare. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.